say praise the Lord. Are you glad that you're in the house of God tonight? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you, Lord. Last night it was 31 degrees, so it's below freezing. Someone told me that they saw some ice in a bucket outside. Not outside of here, but outside of the house where they were staying. Praise God. You know, it just amazes me how that God can create the heavens and the earth and put the earth in an orbit around the sun, and the way it turns and the way it wobbles and creates days and nights and seasons and everything. And thousands of years after he did this, it's still tracking right on schedule. It just blows my mind that's the God we serve. But on the other hand, when we think of all of God's creative powers, everything that he's has done and is capable of doing, that he came in the form of a man to visit the planet Earth, and he became the door to the kingdom of God. So when we pray to Jesus. So God personalized, because it's pretty hard to personalize a creator that's created stars that are millions of times bigger than our sun. But it's pretty easy to personalize someone that's about my height, maybe not quite as big around as me. But someone that we can communicate with, and someone that understands us, and someone that we can understand. Because Jesus is the door. He's the ladder. If any man cometh up any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. So let's lift our hands and let's worship right now our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. I love you, God. I worship you, God. I praise you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We worship you. And we welcome all of you to Calvary Gospel Church tonight. I corrected Pastor Roy on that figure of new converts because I had given him that figure. And I did not include Sun Prairie, and I did not include Revival Ridge and some of the others. But, you know, 266 is a good number. But every year we have 300 or better. Now, this coming Sunday, we have Brother Jack Lehman with us, and this will be raising faith promise pledges. And there's one thing that we, you want to be seated? There's one thing that we do here is we put a lot of emphasis on giving. Calvary Gospel Church has been responsible for several works overseas. Right now we have Lenny and Kathy Smith down in Antigua. Also, Benjamin and Victoria. You know, the thing that I see in Christianity, and tonight I'm speaking on overcoming selfishness, kind of taking the theme that Pastor Roy had. I found the enemy, and it is I. I am my worst enemy, no doubt about that. But just identifying your worst enemy and the problems that you have is not enough. In other words, what can I do to correct that? What can I do? Now, tonight, I'm just going to give you a starter in correcting that. But, you know, when we take offerings, and, of course, up until this past month, when Pastor Roy was elected as our senior pastor, I've been pretty much in charge of the finances here. So I look at the financial record. I pretty much know who among us is generous, who is not so generous. Some people are not so generous because of their financial situations. Some are just plain greedy. Some are a tightwad. But you see, if you want to win favor with God, and I have another Bible study prepared with this in mind, if you want to have favor with God, you must understand that your relationship with God and Him with you is not a one-way relationship. It's two ways. In other words, you're constantly taking your petitions before the Lord, aren't you? You're always saying, Lord, do this, do I need this, I need that. But yet God has a tithing plan and also instructions on giving. And quite often, the tightwad Christian, the greedy Christian, the selfish Christian, is saying, Lord, I need a better job because I need more money. And God is saying, well, I need you also to help support my cause. You want me to support yours? And you won't support mine? You hear what I'm saying? God says, okay, if you want to be that greedy, then you just go ahead and pray all you want to pray, but I don't really have an answer for you. And sometimes we get caught into this where we just need God so much. But you have to understand, it's a two-way relationship. It's what I do for God, what God does for me. It's like a relationship, a physical relationship, a man with his wife. You know, she's always given to him, yet he won't return. She's always giving him cards and things that he likes, but he won't give her flowers or chocolates or anything like that. God is saying, you have a life on earth, and I will take care of you. The Bible tells us this. But on the other hand, I also have needs. This is the reason why I specify you give me 10%. You know, the thing about it is, I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the gold and the silver, it's all mine. And I give you everything you have, but you won't. You expect me to keep giving to you, but you won't give back to me. Now, you think you're going to have favor with God? No. No, you won't have favor with God. But I have observed the people who are the greatest givers end up being blessed so much. And after a while, some of these people, you know, they get favorable positions. nice homes, cars, you name it. And I see others go by and say, well, it must be nice. What do you mean? I remember one day we're lost and we were fasting and praying and seeking God for them. You remember that? And then when they came into the church, we started praying they'd get a better job. They'd get a place to stay. They'd get a better automobile. And all these things came. Now what you want to do is turn around and criticize them. And all they did is take the principles that you hear from the pulpit every week and apply them. And the reason why that you are having problems is because you are not in favor of God. Because while you were asking for his gifts, you refuse to give him gifts. The book of Psalms constantly uses this phrase, bless the Lord. What we do, we want blessings, but we don't want to bless him. We seek his hand, but not his face, his presence. So I'm going to start with a scripture that doesn't seem to fit with this topic, but Matthew 7, verse 12. And I've got a lot of scriptures, and I may not be able to go through all of this Bible study. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. When I was in school, of course that was years ago, but back in the 1940s, Gaston School, all of the classrooms had the golden rule up in the corner of the chalkboard. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, you cannot believe the number of times that I have been called in to help churches that are all crossed up. Some of the church trouble that I've helped deal with, tell you the truth, it's like a cheap, dirty movie. You know, you go in there and you just, ooh. Feels like a Jehovah's Witness church. Because some of the things that they are fussing about and some of the problems that they've had. So what I do, I usually take 3 nights and I teach 2 lessons a night on Christian ethics, how to treat each other. And this is where I always start. Wherefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And when it says this is the law and the prophets, that's probably taken from Leviticus 19:18, where it speaks of love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in Matthew 22, verse 35 through 40, Jesus speaks of this. Matthew 22, verse 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now all of the teachings of the Old Testament, they hinge around, they're built around this particular commandment. So the central theme of the Bible has to do with God. Secondly, it has to do with our love for God, rather, or our relationship with God. Secondly, our relationship with each other. Now, when we say each other, do you remember, some of you old-timers, maybe I should say, years ago when in Sunday school classes we received, and I think a lot of other Pentecostal non-oneness churches even use this, that little card called Little Friends of Jesus. I don't know if any of you remember that, but this is back in, I'm talking about the early 40s. Little Friends of Jesus. And I still remember printed in one lesson that Sister Vera Jemerson, my Sunday school teacher, taught us. And she taught a lesson on joy. J-O-Y, J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for you. So if you want joy, it's first Jesus, then it's others, and then it's you. Now, you have to understand, when we say others here, and then we have ourselves last. Now, evidently, that there is a level that you have with other people. One is an equal. And this is what Jesus was saying, treat your neighbor like yourself. See, Paul says in Ephesians 5, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. I've had people, I've actually quoted that a few times, and I've had people confront me after service, said, wait a minute, Brother Grant. What about, I said, look, I just quoted a scripture. You know, I didn't write it. I just quoted it. So please understand, when I quote a scripture, and if you disagree, I'm probably not the person to come to. Because I didn't write it, you know. I'm not saying it's not a good one, but I just know what I know what the Lord said. So if you can find a scenario that's different from that, I think if you probably looked a little closer, you'd find out that the Bible's right. Even in cases where people take their own life, it's usually because they are too embarrassed to face the future. They're hurt. They may say they hate themselves, but the problem is it's too much love for self that's gone sour. And that's a hard thing for me to say simply because I'm very much acquainted with that subject. So let's talk about overcoming selfishness. And we'll talk about the Jesus, others, and you. In Matthew 24, verse 6 through 13, these are the signs of the last days that Jesus gives. And we see this. There's verse 6 through verse 13, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all among all nations for my name's sake. You know, we're seeing more and more pressure put on churches by special interest groups. And you probably saw, was it yesterday or the day before, that the city council in Houston, Texas, the mayor is a lesbian. And so she solicited the city council. They had a meeting. They voted in favor of this. And so they made an ordinance that all ministers preaching in Houston, Texas, must turn over their notes to the city council. They wanted to find out if they were preaching against homosexuals, gays. How many of you saw that on the news? Okay. And then today, I think it happened today, maybe yesterday, the state of Idaho, they got permission from the Supreme Court of Idaho to make into law, they said it was constitutional, that all churches and pastors must agree to same-sex marriage, in other words, performing same-sex marriages. And if you don't and you won't agree, then you lose your tax status. You remember years ago I told you that this could happen this way. We say, what? Isn't that why we came and established America? Because of religious rights? And we think they can't be taken. There's a lot of hatred against the truth. And there's hatred against each other. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I think we ought to lift our hands and thank the Lord for the truth. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. How does love reach the point in which, I say love, how does hate reach a point in which there's so much that people are shooting and killing and sometimes just shooting at random? So many people in our world are full of hate. One, when children are small, I believe our children are all, not all, but most of them are spoiled. Too many choices. Then later on, they become teenagers. And they want a little bit of everything. You know. Cell phones that have GPS. If you walk into the grocery store, it'll tell you how to turn to get there. You know. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing is that after a while, We've made so many choices, and then when we get old enough to get our driver's license, we think we have to have the best car. Then when our mother wakes us up, we roll out of bed to go to work. You know, man, my back's hurting. I hate this bed. In fact, I hate my job. I hate this car that I have. I hate this traffic. I hate my employer. In fact, I'm not happy with anything. And I think that you use the word hate. You have to be careful about using the word hate. Now, I know in the Bible, hate doesn't mean means to love less than something else. But nevertheless, we use the word hate, and it's so hard. It's really hard to be thankful when you hate everything. That's the whole thing. See, and the Bible tells us that one of the signs of the last days, this is found in Timothy's writing, or Paul's writings to Timothy, that in the last days that men should be unthankful. You know, I think one of the best things that you can do in your prayer before you start asking God for anything outside of you just humbling and repenting, you should start thanking God. I thank the Lord first every morning for my wife. You we'll be married 55 years this coming November the 6th, and you just don't know how much I love this woman. And as time goes on, more and more and more, with this bad back, you can't believe the things she's had. I cannot turn my collar down because I can't take both hands and reach up to the back of my neck because of pain. I can't bend over to put my socks on. The socks that I have on tonight, my wife put on for me. My wife makes me a pot of coffee every night. I get up usually before her, so I turn it on and let the electricity mix that water and that coffee together. Man. She usually has some muffin or some piece of cake Sister Hicks made. Oh, honestly. You can't believe how nice. So she cuts me a slice of this cake. I sit there, drink that coffee, and eat that cake, and thank the Lord for this woman. Oh. You know, if you keep thanking the Lord for your spouse, you usually would treat them better. You see, the key to considering other people above yourself is that when you are speaking of someone, or you always make everybody, maybe I should just put this, you always make everybody appear better than what most people see them. That's the key to good relationship. So everybody, as you talk about them to someone else, should appear as good as you can possibly make them appear. Isn't that great? Because who loves a church that's fussing all the time? Who loves a church that's gossiping all the time? And I remember hearing a new convert, and she was standing in the back of the church, and I just happened to be walking by, and she was talking to another sister. And she lit in on a sister in this church, and you talk about, wow. Well, I knew, wait a minute, she needs to be helped. So I assigned myself to help her. And, you know, I couldn't believe. I just really couldn't believe. And she didn't stay in the church very long. She was a very active lady, and she liked to do this, that, and the other. But my, you can't have someone that's full of venom working in a ministry. So, you know, she ended up leaving the church. You see, when the Bible talks about hate, unfortunately, hate can come into the church. In 1 John 2, verse 10 and 11, Now, I'm going to be talking about some things that a lot of you have heard me talk about before. But, you know, just every now and then, you just have to go back over some of these things, don't you? 1 John 2, verse 10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, I remember talking to a person one time, and that person says, well, I tolerate her. But do you see in the Bible anywhere where Christ or any commandment in the Old Testament tells us it's okay just to tolerate? Can you find that in the Bible? No. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So if you hate your brother or sister, what's the first thing that happens to you? You become deceived. Blindness sets in. And according to Isaiah 66, verse 4, when blindness sets in, God chooses, listen to me, God chooses the particular delusion that comes upon you. He says, I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because when I call, none did answer. When I spake, in other words, God was saying, have you ever gone to one of your children and looked at him or her and say, what are you doing? You know, and your child looks back and says, I don't know. Yes, you do. What are you doing? I don't know. That's the answer you get from a lot of young, real young ones. Well, it seems like what God is saying is, and I went to them and I looked and said, what are you doing? And they said, I don't know. Are you following? I told you there's some restrictions. I told you do this or do that. Well, what are you doing? I don't know. But they just keep on doing it. And children, they like to challenge authority. They want to know who's in charge here. Isn't that true? Sure, and all of you ten, you did that when you were young. Maybe not so young. But that's what happens. So unfortunately, these attitudes get in the church. But the Bible teaches us to be full of love and to be thankful. When you're thankful, you need to just make a list of all the groups or the people that you're thankful for. I thank the Lord for my sons, their wives, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. My mom and dad are both gone on to be with the Lord. There's not a day while they were alive that I didn't pray for them since I've been saved. And since they have died, I don't recall a day that I didn't thank the Lord for them. I still thank the Lord. When I was a teenager, I thought my mom was unreasonable. I told her a few times. She wasn't too happy. She made it miserable for me. But you know, I tell you what, I'm thankful I had a mom the way that I had. And she was tough. Much tougher than my dad. But nevertheless, I thank the Lord for Francis Grant and Emory Grant. I didn't know my dad's parents, but I knew my mom's parents, my Grandpa Wallace and Grandma Wallace. I really thank the Lord for them. I love to go down to their house. And even when I wasn't saved, I like to go down there because every night, if the weather permitted, we sat on the front porch. And my grandmother would read a scripture out of the Bible. And my grandpa would look up toward the moon and the heavens. And he'd talk to Jesus just like he was talking to his best friend. I felt that. I felt that. And would you believe before I became a Christian, I caught myself quite often when I was hunting at night and everything, looking up and quoting what Grandpa said. Another thing I do, I thank the Lord for all of our ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church and all of our ministers. And I thank the Lord for all of you, too many of you to call individually by name. To you who are sick and some have been afflicted, I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for the example. You know, people say, Brother Grant, you've been such a good example for me because in all of these problems you've had, listen, we got a lot of people here that's been through a lot of problems. I'm thankful for. I thank the Lord every day for Brother Perry Hicks and Connie. Brother Jeff Marcus, I thank the Lord every day for Sister Pat Bucket. I see her get out of her car and she can hardly walk. She comes on in the house of God. And others. Let's just take a time out here. See, negativity destroys love. It destroys faith. It destroys hope. If you are a person that you're just negative toward people, toward life, it's everything. You're not happy about anything. Leaves from your neighbor's yard can blow over in yours, and you don't like your neighbors because of it. You know, I've seen people get upset about things like that. In fact, I lived by a neighbor one time that leaves from my yard blew into his yard. And he'd picked all of his up the day before. And he let me know. I apologize. You know. But the wind changed from the south and blew from the north, and I got all my leaves back plus some that he had. So when we get negative and when, you know, we start hating. Paul says in Philippians, the third chapter, and you've heard me make reference to this, but this is something that we really need to get a handle on because this has a lot to do with unity, or maybe I should say disunity. Verse 17 of Philippians 3, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, before I give you the three things that Paul talks about as conclusive evidence that you are not a friend of Jesus, but you're an enemy, I want to tell you that it is possible it is possible. The thing that saved you, the cross, in other words, the doctrine, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the gospel, you become an enemy to the very thing that saved you. Now he said, here is the problem. The end of such a life is destruction. Verse 19. Okay, here they are. Whose God is their belly? So if you make your own feelings, the belly's not making reference just to the natural belly. I guess gluttony could be included or would be included in this, but some people, their sole existence is their purpose is to do things to impress people, and if people don't brag on them, don't make them feel good. So the innermost feeling of man, like he didn't shake my hand. Now, you need to shake as many hands as you can, but you're going to miss some. And you know, Jesus said now, he said, offenses will come. As much as people love you and as much as people try not to offend you, some will. And they may not be intentional, but some will offend you. Now you can get bent out of shape and get on the phone, call people, and well, today it's not that. Get on Facebook and you know, when you get on Facebook and you put messages on there that's contrary to what our pastor Roy preaches or teaches or I've taught you for years, you know what you're doing? You're telling on yourself. You are. The Bible says, Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Good thing I wasn't a Christian. You know, I'd have brought my gun out. And oh, I'm not on Facebook, but Sister Grant is, and she every now and then says, you need to see this. And then I've had other people call and said, you need to get Sister Grant or somebody go on Facebook. You need to look at this. I'm not easily embarrassed, but I think I just turned red in the face. It's not anger. I'm embarrassed. Like, you mean to tell me that you are in ministry at Calvary Gospel Church and you're talking about this? Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Oh, my. Poor little old you. You're going to lose your soul because somebody didn't shake your hand or somebody said something they knew they were talking about you. When I first gave my heart to God, Sister Grant did not give her heart to God until a year or so after me. But she'd go to church with me. And Brother Ennis Fuller, you've met him, my pastor, he'd preach. And I'd go home and she would light into me and tell me, look, I'm not going back to church. Why? Because you get with Brother Fuller and you tell him everything that I say during the week. I said, honey, that's not true. She said, you are lying to me, John. Don't tell me that preacher is so in tune with God that he knows everything that I did this week that wasn't right. I said, I had nothing. She said, John, don't tell me that. I said, I'm here to tell you I didn't talk to him about it. I said, you go talk to him. She said, I'm not going to go talk to him. But she'd come back and then you'd go home and have it all over again. Did you know that God just might love you enough that he allows some things to go forth from the Word of God to help you? Are you going to get mad about it? Are you going to accuse? Oh my. I got to quit here. I got a whole lot to say, but whose glory is in their shame. Now that simply means that they brag about wrongdoings. Yeah, well, I dress like this when I go on vacation. Pastor Grant can't see me, and who cares if he can't see me? Well, you don't do this for me. You know? And occasionally I do peep. I look on Facebook and I see pictures. What are they doing dressed like that? Oh, he won't know. Well, I tell you what I did. I emailed her. I gave her a piece of my mind. Now, don't be bragging about stuff like that. Whose glory is in their shame and the way they brag about. And then the other was, who mind earthly things. I'm going to give you a real, real deep revelation. Who mind earthly things. You know what that means? They keep their mind on earthly things. What did Jesus say? He said those thorns and everything that came up and choked that, he said, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. The cares of this life, there are certain things you should care about. But if it gets way out of balance, where you can't come to church because somebody's got a birthday party. Let me tell you something. The older you get, the more birthday parties they're going to be in your family. The more anniversaries they're going to be, really. You know, my kids were growing up, we never missed a service because of a birthday party. We always had them early if it was going to fall on a church night. Somebody said good. Did anybody else want to say good? I'll pause just for a minute so you can say. Oh, man. Meanwhile, back on the ranch. But they mind earthly things. Now, in our modern day, now I don't know how in the world, Brother Russell, we did it back in the 40s, and you go back. Brother Russell's 5 years older than me, I think. But Tuesday morning, I couldn't get on the school bus. I had to stay home, draw water from the well, build a fire in the wash pot, draw water for all the tubs because it was wash day. I got up in the morning, and hitched up the mule, the plow, and I plowed. Every morning before the bus came, my seventh grade teacher came by and he'd always blow and wave at me. He knew that I had to walk to school some days and I might be a little bit late, but he understood it. I don't know. We didn't have a telephone in our house. You know, just so many things we didn't have. Didn't have a refrigerator, had an ice box. But we always went to church and we always prayed every night and every day. And now with all of our conveniences, you'd think, man, these people really are going to save time. They can spend time praying and seeking God and ministering to each other. Doesn't always happen that way. And when it doesn't happen that way, guess what? We become an enemy to the very thing that saved us. And this is the reason why then we can become very negative, we can be full of hate. Paul says in Hebrews 13:1, he says, let brotherly love continue. And Philippians 2:3, and this is a scripture I really wanted to point out. Let nothing done be through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, when we read Matthew 7:12, and we also read Matthew 22:35-40, Jesus says that you love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind. And then second is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I mentioned joy. Jesus, others, and you. Now, the you, if you love your neighbor as yourself, what about others? The reason why that others comes before you or your neighbors, because your neighbor is not your brother. Your neighbor is in a different category, or your brother is, rather. So according to Scripture, you should love your brother and esteem him higher than yourself. And you esteem your neighbor or your enemy and put them equal to you. You see the difference? Now see, here's the thing. If you don't get this right, you can end up treating your brother with less respect and love than what God wants you to treat your neighbor. Follow what I'm saying? Now, we're talking about overcoming selfishness. That there has to be discipline where that you treat your brothers and sisters in the house of God with much more respect. You got to esteem them higher than yourself. Now, according to the Scripture, see, a superior always has the authority to correct a subordinate. In your house, it's the reason why you can tell your children that, hey, I'm your dad, you do this. You follow what I'm saying? But when you come in the house of the Lord, you know, because you esteem your brother higher than yourself, you put that your brother in a position where he's your superior and you are the subordinate. This is the key to unity in the house of God, so that everybody keeps their mouth shut about everybody else. Because I don't have scriptural authority to light in and correct anyone in this church except myself. Now, the amens were pretty weak. I tell you what, let's do, okay? Oh, my. Let's say it again. Amen. All right. Praise God. That's good. Well, my time is up, and plus, because some of the classes have already come back. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go to the very end of this. Let's go back to Matthew 12. And whenever I teach again, I'm going to be teaching on having favor with God. So I'll cover this. Matthew 12. But what we're going to do, we're going back up to verse 7. Matthew 7, I'm sorry. I was saying verse 12, but Matthew 7:7. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. For what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now I'd like for you to stand with me, and I'd like for our music team to come. Now notice verse 12. Verse 12 is actually connected to this. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, what do you think Jesus was saying when he connected this scripture? It doesn't seem to fit, does it? Unless you look at the context, if you put this in the context of the other, what Jesus is saying is that if you have a son and he asks bread, you're going to give him a stone. If he asks for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion. So basically what he's saying is that if you want prayers answered, if you want prayers answered, then always do to every man exactly the way you would want them to do to you. The answer to getting prayers answered is treat everybody with the same love and respect that you'd like to be treated. So if you ask something of someone or you have a need and they give you something that's not right, if that's what you do, you won't have prayers answered. But this is just so important. So important. Treat every person exactly the way you'd like to be treated. This little Bible lesson, I think, is really the beginning of conquering selfishness. Helping each other. Open your hand, letting things go. Open your hands and letting things go is the only evidence that you'll ever have that you've conquered greed. Oh, hallelujah. I got to tell you, folks, I love you. I love you dearly. You folks have been so kind and so nice to me and Sister Grant through the years, and we developed such a healthy relationship with all of you. We have a great church. A great church. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I thank you, God, for all my brothers and sisters. Oh, God of heaven, let us be submissive to each other. Let us not be selfish, God. Let us not be enemies of the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to feel free to come down to the altar tonight. If you feel that you need a touch from the Lord, come on down to the altar.